Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 54, on the way again, number 6. Today is Friday, July 4th, 2008, Independence Day in the good old USA. And I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the great USA. How are you doing out there? Thanks for joining me. Today is going to be a firecracker of a message. How do you like that? Pastor Paul's message, On the Way Again, was originally recorded January 11th, 1985. When you listen to this message, it is so good. He doesn't take a breath. You've got 90 minutes, 1 hour and a half. But then again, this is a podcast, so that really doesn't matter. You can listen to it 15 minutes at a time if you want. But let me just say this. Chances are you're going to want to sit through the whole thing, so set some time aside. The message is so good. One of the things that he talks about is burdens. And he uses the idea of burdens is that we have a burden for ourselves, or maybe burdens for other people. I really liked his analogy. When we take our burden, lay them at the cross, and pick up someone else's burden. And that just really made a lot of sense to me. Now, keep in mind, I'm just bringing up a few things that kind of stand out, you know, in the message for me. But, you know, when you listen to the message, you're going to hear different things that are going to stand up for you. And that's the way these messages are. They just kind of will hit you where you need to be hit. So these are just a few things where they kind of hit me. Another thing was where he talks about being full of songs. People that sing a lot, or they like music, or they're just always, maybe they're humming or whatever, it's because they're full of songs. So I thought that was just really kind of stood out, you know, that it's just something natural. They're just full of songs. It isn't that they sing to be happy. A lot of times people will sing and, you know, they're really not feeling it. They don't really have a passion for it. But somebody that sings or that's into music, they're full of songs. And so the analogy there is when you're full of the Lord, the Lord is there. He's present. You're just full of him. And so things about him come out. And he talks about that as far as where people will kind of, you know, talks about keeping church or religion in church, or keeping religious subjects, you know, on the back burner, or there's appropriate times to talk about religion or whatever. But when you are full of the Lord, it just naturally comes out, just like a person who's full of songs. So I thought that was just really, really cool too. On the way again, you cannot go part way. You have to go all the way. The analogy here is when, let's say you're going on a trip. He uses this for an example. You're going on a trip. You say, okay, Janine, okay, let's go to California. And so you're on your way to California, but you end up just going to, let's say, South Dakota. Well, you haven't gone all the way, so therefore your trip never really happened. You just went partway, so therefore you've lost the whole. So think about that anyways, if that hits you. A lot of different points, a lot of scriptures. I'm going to be posting all the scriptures at the blog. And let me give you that address. It's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you will find the show notes. You can also call our comment line, 1-715-808-0318. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And you can also make a comment at the blog. If you are in the USA, and if you're in another country that doesn't celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day, why don't you take the 4th of July as your independence in the Lord? get free from yourself, free from all the other burdens, lay them down, take up somebody else's burden, and celebrate freedom. God bless you and have a fantastic week. And I will talk to you next Friday for episode 55. God bless you.
It is entitled On the Way Again, number 6. The last few messages have been on the way and on not the way, the natural and the unnatural. And we were getting into, is the Christian way, the natural way? We said there are a lot of man-made ways, but they all end up in defeat and in discouragement and in death. Today, as I was listening to this commission that came into the inner city, and I thought, there were some man-made ways there. And they ended up in defeat and discouragement and death. So those weren't the way. We went on with our farming for years this way, building and building and more barns and more barns, and just like the Bible says, getting more tractors and doing this and doing that. And then on the other hand, the inner city was going their own way, and they were getting into more plans and more programs and more needs and physical fitness programs and park programs and baseball programs and football and basketball. And they're all fine, but they're not the way. The main ingredient that they left out was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not the way. Without the director over all these ways. See, they didn't work. They won't work. They end up in defeat and discouragement and death every time. But you see, the world is so used to living the unnatural, that unnatural way, that they think it looks natural to them. They're accustomed to evil. I was accustomed to going in the bar and sitting in there until I slipped off the stool. And I thought, oh, that's natural. Everybody's doing it. And the place smelled like one great big outhouse, and I would breathe that air all night. And I thought that was natural. Go outside and cough. It was too much fresh air. But they become accustomed to evil, and now I see T-shirts. A woman wearing a T-shirt. I'm easy. And that's natural. They think that's natural. I'm easy. Try me. I'm easy. And the husband's walking along. He's laughing, and guys are making comments. And I thought, God, how unnatural that is. But you see, we become so accustomed to that thing, well, and that's the way you got to be. And so they got to get more, really, unnatural. They have to beat each other, and they start these T-shirts out, and then they just get some real filth on them, see? Tag themselves. They begin to feel natural doing unnatural things. But really, the Christian way is the only way. But where has this so-called natural way taken people? Jesus said, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside. That's John 15 and 6. And that means if you don't remain in me, then life throws you aside. Life says, you don't fit in. I can't use you. And how does this happen? By living in fear, by living in selfishness, and by living in rebellion. You see, if we hang on to these things, we become unfit. And I'll tell you, the world is unfit now to cope with the problems that are coming up. So unfit that we have to take drugs and alcohol, and we have to go on long vacations, and we have to go to shrinks, and we have to have continual counseling because we are not going the right way. We are going the unnatural way, and we're calling it the natural way. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Yep, they cling to this thing, and life says, you don't fit in. I can't use you. And I said, and I'll say it again, if we hang on to these things, we become unfit. The next verse says, he withers. Man, old John Barleycorn had a hold of me, and I was withering. My face just started to hang, and my face started to hang out. When I got drunk, my whole face would hang. You know what I mean by hang? From the forehead down, it would hang out. That's where they get that expression. Hanging one on. You hang a face on. I mean, start getting yellow all over. Start having trouble down inside here somewhere with a liver. Start getting the shakes. And that was natural. Boy, did we have a good time last night. What'd you do? I don't know. But they claimed I had a wonderful time. That verse says, he withers. I was withering. Moffat translation, Ephesians 5 and 17 says, do not be senseless, but understand what is the Lord's will. I thought about that and I thought, what is the Lord's will? That's great. Because if you don't know God's will, you will have no sense at all. You will be senseless. And I believe we're seeing and hearing much nonsense lately. Because we don't know the will of the Lord. We're not asking God's will. We're going our own way again. So easy to get off the way. Why is that? We revert back to what we think is natural and we get mad at one another. Sometimes you can get around, the couples become so accustomed to telling each other and bickering that every other word is, okay, now you'll pay for that. And then they catch themselves and they know someone's next to them. And the other person says, well, what'd you say? Of course, being bold, I just speak up. Why she said this? Or he said that? You know why they did? They think that's natural to talk like that to each other. Now that's unnatural. Say amen, somebody. Well, you see how easy it is to get off the way? And if your meat gets off the way, don't you get off the way. You stay on the way and you pull them back on the way. How many heard that? Now I know there's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it. Do not, do not, do not, do not. Don't, won't. But I'm here to preach it anyway. You are off the way, and that's why you're so miserable. And so then we try to gather a group, and we go over in this group, and he does this, and she does that. And we get right into a world situation again. We get off of the way. And we get on our own way, another way, not God's way, a very unnatural way, and we say that's natural to be like that. We get right back in with the world again. Colossians 1 and 16 says, all things were created by him and for him. That means this. It is written in our every organ, we are made for him. And the people that are out there that are trying to get away from him, their whole system is rebelling against it. The inner person is actually rebelling, and that's why they're fighting and they're in rebellion. You understand what I just said there? And that's why everything is such a mess. God isn't in the school, so the schools fell apart. God is taken out of the doctor. An oath doesn't mean anything anymore, so God isn't in that, and now they can kill babies, and they can do whatever they want to with the people. They can pull the lifelines. They can do whatever. Because God isn't in it. Well, I've heard some people say, you know, you can go too far with this thing. Some people say you have become too Christian. You are too religious. Well, I was a religious drunk. That hasn't got a thing to do with it. And then they'll tell you, you got to balance out your life. I say, what is that? In between the garbage can and the shower? What do you mean? Balance out your life. Before I came to Christ, I was most unbalanced. I was a raving maniac. I think most of my life I was a little bit crazy. And yet today, when I get off of the way, even for that minute and a half I'm telling you about where I don't recognize it and I want to go on my own way and sit in my own self-pity and get in my own things and get into the most unnatural, and I call it natural, but it's most unnatural, I go a little bit crazy. Has anybody in here this week gone a little bit crazy? I have. Just admit to it. My God, you can't get fixed in your mind if you don't recognize that you're nuts. Say amen, somebody. But anyway, I think if you're going to a church that doesn't have Christ as its center, then you can go too far. Too much bowling and too much self-pleasing and too much of this without Christ in it. Then they say, let religion just be one of your interests. Just go to church on Sunday and then forget it. I mean, there's time to talk about God, and I think that's in church. I think people carry it too far, they see, and they shouldn't carry it to their business, and they shouldn't carry it in their home. And they should just keep God in their church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot keep God in your church, just in your church. He's all over. This is no place to discuss this. The other night, I was at a board meeting with some influential people from around the cities. And we were sitting there, and I was thinking, boy, do we need prayer here. And a man spoke up, and he says, I think we need to pray. I said, I was just thinking that. Say amen, somebody. Wherever you're at, it's your opportunity to show people the way. Some people say, well, I get up in the morning and I show my interest in God. I give 5 minutes. Or I did my part. Sometimes people do their little part, and that's, hey, it's all right if it makes you feel good. But I mean, if you're going to come with the attitude that you're just doing your little part. You know what I mean? Kind of like now we give people a star. We say, well, we teach them in Sunday school. Now you got a star. You've been to church every week. And you train the people, see. Well, how you doing? Well, I got 52 gold stars. Well, what's that for? I came to church every week. And now we give each other a gold star because we come to church every week. Big deal. But what are you doing? You know, that's the same way when you go to work. Now in the natural. When you go to work, they are not going to give you a star for just showing up. Brother, you better produce or they're going to kick you out. Now, I had the fine opportunity to tell some people here not to. I do it all the time. I'm going to get more bold in my ministry. I'm just going to say, hey, do you want to work? Well, and then the arguments go out and say, well, hey, see the side of my shoe here? Well, I'm going to use this spiritual foot to kick you out the door because we haven't got time for people just come in to get stars for showing up here, okay? You got to do something. Say amen, somebody. Is that too bold? I don't think so. I don't think so. The devil's kicking them around anyway. Now the Bible says in Colossians 1 and 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Outside of Jesus Christ, everything falls apart. Did you ever feel like you were falling apart? I don't know if you've felt that, but I have. Well, is that a feeling when you start to crumble? When everything that you thought was the way falls apart. Sort of like little springs popping in your head. Bing, 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 bing. And you look around and you're fearful and you don't know whether you can make it. And you start to think, God, I'm going crazy. How many of you have felt that? Now let's get it on here tonight now. See, there's a whole lot of folks don't want to admit things, and that's why there's a whole lot of recluses peeking out of their shades, see? Now, there's people that admit that, and they put them in the nut house. Well, I'm going to admit it right in here, and you won't have to go to the nut house. And you can admit that it happened, but it's over with, okay? But you sort of lose it. And why? That's because you're off the way. If you want to go completely nuts, you get off the way. You will feel mainsprings in your head, little rats crawling around, scrambling around on top of your head up here in mice games, because you're off the way. You ever seen somebody that gets off the way? They get nutsy. They do. I say, what's wrong with so-and-so? And they sort of got little twerpings. It's nuts. And the thing to do when a person starts to twerp, huh? Tell them, you're off the way. Now the world says that you're off your noodle. Okay? But see, this is what happens when we get off. Well, now, if you fall back into the natural, you'll go have a couple of drinks. Say, God, I'm losing it. I got to have, yeah, whew, man. I got to have a couple of martinis to get myself right. I got to have a pill to get myself right. And you start to think those things. Oh, now when I felt like this before, I could go have a couple of belts. You're listening on the radio and on the tape. You know what I'm saying is the truth. And say amen, somebody. It is the truth. Before all things and in all things, he holds them together. Now, look at what's happening right now. Families are falling apart. Jobs are falling apart. You can't trust the guy that works next to you. He might take your job from you. Espionage and camouflage, huh? Sabotage. Oh, God. But everything falls apart. The school system is falling apart. But I find that where there are pressures, and the pressures come upon the Christians, that's when they can stand the test and the trial better. If they know that they're off the way and that they can get on the way. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know how many Christians have gone bed bugs? Do you? Do you know how many Christians are crazier than bed bugs? You know why they are? They got off the way. Now, when a Christian gets off the way, and he's in the light, and he gets into darkness, how much greater is that darkness? Say amen, somebody. Now, you can call it common sense, you can call it horse sense, you can call it any kind of sense you want to, but I think we've lost our sense. A sense of direction. Say amen, somebody. We're not laying all those things behind and looking forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ, but what we're doing is getting off the way again. But anyway, if you build on something else, sand, great will be your fall. I think there's a whole lot of Humpty Dumpty Christians right now, ready for a great big fall. I know myself, if I didn't realize the very things I'm preaching right now, I could fall off that wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Polly together again. Say amen, somebody. How great would be that fall? You see, if we're going to revolt against God, we revolt against ourselves and we become unglued. Did you ever become unglued? What a feeling that is. My God, there's a lot of people that should be. I tell you what, how many become unglued in their life at one time or another? Unglued. Whew. Totally unglued. No reason. No rhyme. Psycho. You know how dangerous you are? To yourself and to others. Some people come on with more scripture and more claiming and more this and more that, and they get more crazy. Are you hearing it? Say amen. And you know what? You can be quoting scriptures and have the wrong attitude and be off the way while you're quoting them scriptures. Say amen. It's not knowing them scriptures, it's living them scriptures. Say amen, somebody. And then about that time, somebody will say, hey, you need to spend more time at home. Say amen. Amen. Spend more time at home so I can call you up and talk to you on the telephone for 4 or 5 hours. Now, I'm telling you, people, listen to what I'm saying here. If you get convicted, my God, get convicted. You on the radio, on tape, get good and convicted. But have you ever seen someone become unglued? Now, furniture, when it gets real dry, what happens to it? It becomes unglued. It's the same way with a Christian. When they become dried up, they become unglued. I know this is not a popular message. I'm not a popular preacher. My God, I'm not up here for popularity. I'm up here to set the record straight. There's a whole lot of dried up folks. Are you hearing that on the radio? Dried up. I'm saying if you build on sand and not on the rock of life, it will not sustain life. It will become unglued. And if we won't live with God, we can't live with ourselves. Did you ever try to live with yourself without God? I tried it for 39 and a half years, and sometimes I take off for a half a day even now. Life is a mess until we get on the way. Say amen, somebody. Seems like we try all the other keys to life. Trying them all, trying to find a way. The key of life. Isn't that right? Sometimes I think people lose their keys. Did you ever lose your keys? Have you? Won't you look for them all over? Your whole life is in that ring. You seen my keys? You seen my keys? Didn't I give them to you? Sure I did. You wanted to open the garage. Oh, that was 2 months ago. Did you get my keys? I think a whole lot of Christians have lost their keys. There's only one key, and it's the key to life. How many keys have you tried to open up different doors? I mean, you just, even at Christians, they keep their whole ring of keys. You know, when there's keys you don't use, what you should do, you throw them away. Do you know that? You should take them off. Now, as you're delivered of these different doors, why do we keep these keys? What's that key? Oh, I don't know why I keep it. It's the key to my old house. How long ago did you live there? 15 years ago. And what's this key for? I was a bartender, and that's to the rusty toenail. I used to, I just keep it, every once in a while I go in there and I pray out the bar. We keep all those keys so we can go back in and open up those doors. And what's this key? Oh, I probably shouldn't tell you. That's Sally's key. Oh, what in the world have you got that key for, Sally Lust? Well, just once in a while, I feel that God is leading me to witness to her and tell her. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. And they go on and on and on and on and on. I think there's a whole lot of keys we ought to do away with and only have one key. Say amen. I'm talking spiritually. A lot of times you have to explain because people just throw all their keys away and only have one key. They can't even get home at night. You understand? Oh, God. Now, I know I get attacked a lot for laughing. I'm sorry. So you got to have a little bit of humor in some kind of ministry like this because it just comes on pretty heavy. It's deliverance, okay? Matthew 19, in verse 16 through 22 says, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your mother and your father, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things have I kept. What am I lacking? And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But then it says, but when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. What was Jesus saying to him? Well, it sounds like you're sold out for the kingdom of God and you're ready for the final test. Will you sell all that you have? Now the guy was bragging. Oh, I've done all that. What more could I ever do? Well, he was asking a question. There was a question in this. Something to come out of what he really said. When somebody comes on with that heavy thing, well, I've done all that. Well, then they're ready for the test. See, our boasting about our good and our obedience will always be tested. Well, you've done all that. You're ready for the next step. Drop dead to yourself. Deny yourself. Stop arguing with your wife or your husband. Now, or whatever. Get along in your job. How many are hearing this? You see, when we sin, we don't sin against one another. We sin against God. See, the God of life and the God of religion are one. And if we nourish within our hearts fear, and if we nourish within our hearts hate and self-centeredness, we will literally fall apart, because life is not made for fear, and life is not made for doubt, and life is not made for self-centeredness. It's not made for it. But then again, if we nourish in our hearts, and we nourish our hearts with faith, and we nourish our hearts with love and other-centeredness, well, what does that mean? It's looking out after somebody else other than yourself. Did you hear that? You know what will happen to you? You'll walk in the joy, and you'll walk in the power, and you'll walk in the victory. When you get your mind off from you and put it on someone else. Now, I'm not talking about to use them or abuse them. I'm talking about helping them. Now, that takes a little bit of doing, because we always got another motive back there. Well, I'll just help them, and they'll be so thankful. They'll say, gee, you're a nice guy. And then they'll go around telling everybody what a nice guy I am. Better off to do it in secret. Say amen, somebody. There again, that's a nut that thinks that way. Say amen. Because he won't get no joy. Do you want to have the faith and love and all the things I'm talking about here? Get your mind off yourself. It's not always easy to do. You get up in the morning, the first person you have to look at in the mirror is you. That isn't easy. Say amen, somebody. But to be a Christian, I'm finding, and I know this as a fact, of course, you have to give up something. Always, every day. Being a Christian means you have to give up something. Every day. Mainly your life. What was your life? Well, my life, one morning I got up, my life was grumbling. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And I grumbled into the bathroom, and I grumbled out of the bathroom, and I kept grumbling until I just, you know, I went crazy. I couldn't find my shoes after I kept grumbling, and I just lost control. I had no, you know, I couldn't find my shoes, couldn't find my belt, couldn't find my pants. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as I stopped and I prayed, I didn't even think about it. My belt was right in front of my face. My shoes were right over here. The frustration was gone. And I had put my mind on what I was going to do that day for the Lord. The tension was gone. The frustration was gone. My breathing was natural. Now, isn't that the natural way? Isn't it? How many got up this week and really was unnatural? Grumbling, complaining, mad at the kids. Huh? They cried and they're in the bedroom and they're, oh, leave them cry a while, that little runt. Huh? Either that or you ran in there like some kind of a nut. I mean, you know, there's extremes both ways. But see, to not be Christian, you have to give up everything worthwhile. Love and peace and joy, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. You have to give all those things up to not be a Christian. No, people that decide to go the other way, the non-Christian way, they give up love. Now, you cannot convince me there's love outside of Jesus, outside there in the world. There is no love out there. And they give up peace. Has the world got peace? No. And they give up joy. Well, I know a lot of Christians don't have any. That's because they're not on the way. They're off a little bit. I mean, mentally, too. That's nuts to give up this stuff here, isn't it? Give up love and peace and joy and peace of mind, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? Oh, sure it's crazy, because there's people at the mental wards and there's people out there at the shrink's office trying to get this. And we already have it. And 1 John 5 and 3 says, His commands are not burdensome. Why is that? Because He commands nothing that is not demanded by life itself. Life demands, your body, your whole system demands love. A child demands love. Don't they? They demand it. Huh? We don't always feel like giving it. Say amen. It demands these things. Your body craves and your spirit craves love and affection and joy and peace. And if God didn't command them, life would command them. His commands are not burdensome because when you obey them, you're happy. When you obey them, you're harmonious. And when you obey them, you are adjusted. Hey, it works. My God, it works. You just go ahead and you obey the Word of God and you're well adjusted. And that means that's with the right motive and everything, of course. Now, you want to get out of adjustment? Go down the wrong way. You ever seen Christians that are out of adjustment? They're out of adjustment. Maladjusted. Their face isn't adjusted. I become accustomed to your face. Ooh. Huh? They're out of adjustment. Now, I'm just walking up the aisle, and I just happen to sit here by Joe. Joe hasn't got no special thing going on. I just happen to sit here. If I happen to glance at you, you know. And, you know, radio audience and tape audience, you know this is the truth. You are maladjusted when you're off from the way. Now, isn't that crazy that we go on for maybe days and weeks that way, out of adjustment? Huh? Why not get adjusted? by obeying God. And it's just like you have a screw up here on your head, this scripture up there. This is a scriptural screwdriver. Obey the Lord, and you will have peace and joy. And then you turn it this way, two turns this way, and back it off one turn. There, you're in adjustment. Oh, there, that feels better. Why wait? Why wait? God, why wait? Is there something that's getting you out of adjustment? Maybe it's some kind of a nut that gets on the phone with you every day. Or maybe you're the nut that calls them. No wonder you're unadjusted. My God, is this too much common sense? Oh, we need it. How many are hearing this? Now, how many were out of adjustment this week? Now, are we going to suffer like this continually? No way. Let's put our hands up and say we've got to get into adjustment here. Would you go up in an airplane that was out of adjustment? Huh? One wing is hanging this way. Wouldn't you say, would you mind adjusting those wings before I fly that thing? Would you want to go on an airplane where the pilot was out of adjustment? Huh? Where's the ushers in here? Would you? Would you want to go on an airplane where the pilot was out of adjustment? Where he was, drunk. His hat is on crooked. Huh? He puts his hat on and his tie is over here and his jacket's off his shoulder. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore, huh? Wings are upside down. Not me. Say, man, I'm taking another flight. You want a preacher that's not adjusted? How can a preacher make adjustments if he's not adjusted himself? I've been through several adjustment treatments. They're not always, don't feel so good, but hey. You know, when I was working with electric presses and things like that, some of the things were real delicate. But you know what the best tools were? A file and a great big hammer about that long. You just walk in, nobody was watching, you take your maul and you sort of swing it like this, real close to your leg, and look around and whap! It's almost like a Ferris wheel starting up, you know. What'd you do? Oh, it's tricks of the trade. What I'm saying is, most times the adjustments are very simple. Now, don't go taking a hammer after yourself, but you know what I mean. When you obey, you will be harmonious. You will be adjusted. But if you don't, on the other hand, you're going to be unharmonious. You're going to be miserable, maladjusted. That's what life says. When you get out of tune with life, you know when you're out of tune with life? You know when you're out of tune with life, don't you? One morning you're in tune. You can go in the cafe and everybody's in there. And, hi, how are you? You're in tune. And everything, and you know, you're sparking, you know what I mean? You're on a roll with people. How you going? Hi, Charlie, hi, da-da-da. But you know what you can tell when you're off? You go in and say, how's it going? You feel sort of mean and sort of wicked and say, fine, huh? And it's a struggle to be there, and it's a struggle to be with people, and the whole day is a struggle. You know why? You try to make your own adjustments in your face outside of the Word of God. Then you get phony. Then you get into, almost lying. How many are hearing this? And you spend the whole day. Why not find somebody and call them and say, hey, I'm out of adjustment. I need prayer. I need prayer. How many know when they need prayer? Well, you can blame it on somebody else. We can blame it on someone else. We can say, well, if it wouldn't have been for her, if it wouldn't have been for him, I would still be in adjustment. They got me out. They just drive me crazy. How many hearing this message tonight? You on the radio, turn it back on again now. Don't get your little feelings hurt. And John 10 and 10 says, and listen, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that ye might have life and might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hireling and not the shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. He flees, it says, because he is a hireling and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know my Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Now listen to this. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. I am talking about the way tonight. I am talking about the adjustments that we have to make to walk in the way tonight. Read another piece of scripture here. And this is out of John 1 through 3. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's the way. You came into being. Nothing came into being. Because it says in here, all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that is come into being. See, there is no other way we can go but God's way. I know it's getting awful quiet in here. Now, maybe there's an argument. Maybe radio audience, you're getting awful quiet. One guy out there is chewing his nails. John 12, listen to this, and 5. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now he had said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. Now he wasn't on the way, was he? And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer it. What was put into it? And Jesus therefore said, let her alone in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me. There was a guy that was off of the way. Isn't it strange that people that are off the way have all these evil questions? When someone is trying to do good, why are all these evil questions about? The poor you will always have with you. You can always tell someone that's off the way. Why are you feeding people groceries? Are you sure that they need it? And the guy has, the back of his pants tore out. 2 tennis shoes on, no socks, no shoestrings. A t-shirt. 20 below zero. Last night, and this is a fellow that's been giving me a hard time for some time on and off. I mean, he has been, hard on me. In fact, one night he was out here and he says, I know what you do with all them roast beefs, and I know what you're doing with all them turkeys and all them filet mignons. You're taking them home for yourself. I says, of course. You think I'd feed them to you? I'm going to turn you in. I says, go ahead on. I mean, this man was violent, but you know, you got to appeal to a person's sense of humor, especially when you're smaller. The other night, a nice pair of boots came in. I mean, they were, what do they call them, moon boots? You know why they call them moon boots? They're too ugly, really, to wear here on planet Earth, but they're warm. Anyway, there's these large moon boots, and I know this guy, he had a blowout in the side of his shoe. You know what I mean? Them things had miles on them. And the heels were gone, one heel was gone, and he was crippling in with his old cold feet. He sat down there, and this is the guy, he just was having a hard time with me. And vice versa, okay? And I walked over and I said, here's these boots. And the guy got up and he looked at me. And he comes over and puts his arms around me and he starts to weep. God, he says, thank you for these boots. There is a way. Say amen, somebody. Why do you do those things? Sometimes I feel like telling people none of your business. If you can't see the need, well, then just don't ask questions like that. Don't get yourself involved. You're not part of this thing. You don't want to be part of this thing. So just get on your own way. You're going another way. You're not on the way. People come up to me, ask me, and they say, well, do Christians have more fun? There's a song like that. Is it true blondes have more fun? Huh? I thought about that, and I thought, no, most of the time they're not natural anyway, so they spend most of their time trying to look natural. Spend a lot of time on themselves, and that's just the way it is, spiritually speaking, too, isn't it? That the straighten up and fly right is going to seem unnatural to you. But it's going to be that pain that's going to lead you to joy. The joy of knowing, the joy of adjustment, the joy of right decision, the joy of harmony of life. But first of all, you got to get off of your head, standing on your head in the corner, and you got to get on your feet, and you're going to feel kind of strange right away. Jesus says, my yoke is kindly, in Matthew 11 and 30, the Moffat translation. What does that mean, you say? Well, it means that it's our kind. It fits us. It's made for us. His yoke is my desire, my innermost desire. Well, you really don't know that until you put the yoke on. His discipline, I'm saying, is my innermost need. His life is my life. Now, when you discipline your child, and they just been mean as they can be, man, they're so mean, they're just mean. They're flap their foot mean. You know when a kid flaps their foot and they got their lips flap, 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 huh? And you just give them a good spanking and discipline them and get them on the way, they're back. Sitting at the table, they're doing their color crayons and they're talking to each other. Give me a color crayon. Okay. Give me the yellow one. All right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, give me the pink one over there. Okay. And their color crayon. Oh, that looks real nice. Yeah, I like yours too, huh? Isn't that natural? Was it natural before? Give me that crayon! Ma! He's biting the crayons! He ate the pink crayon! Huh? But after that, you discipline them and get them right on the right way, which at the time, oh, it hurts. God, it hurts. Oh, I remember my mother, when she'd get me on the way, she'd say, no, I am going to spank you severely. And I don't want you to say a word, because we lived in an apartment where the Murphy bed came out. And when the bed came out, everybody went to bed because it filled up the whole room. There's like five of us in this little nest. And she says, so I don't want you to make a peep. So I grit my teeth, because boy, could she ever wallop. And she would bare bottom, you know, and then she'd go, whap, 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 about 10 of them. But she never quit with 10. She always had to get another lick in. 11 or 12, never was satisfied. To this day, I think she got carried away. But you know what happened? It got me back on the way again. And we'd all said we'd go take our baths, and we'd be all shiny-faced, and our hair would be wet and slick back, and our little feet would be all clean, and we'd have our little night robes on and everything, and we'd sit up and we'd sing, what was that song we'd sing? Someone mentioned it the other day. What was that song? Hidden Pages. Of course, none of you know that. But and then we would sing another song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and all them good olds, and then different spiritual songs, and we'd sing all those, and we'd feel so good. And then we'd get inside of our little bed there, and we'd just feel so good. We were on the way. And about, you know, 2 days later, or a week later, I'd get off the way again. And I had to be disciplined. But see, discipline is what I needed. And God has to discipline us. And that's what we need, is discipline in our lives. And when the Word of God disciplines us, and we obey the Word of God, we feel good. Pass the color crayon. Okay, pink one, yeah. And the little green one there, too. Okay, fine. But we're not into that. Can you relate? How many can relate with that? See, that pain leads you to joy. Leads you to joy. My burden, he says, is light. He will put a burden on you. How many know we need to have a burden? You have to have something to do. And after you do it, and you get done, and you say, your mother says, clean that house up when I come back. I want that house clean. Well, she leaves, and you just, you know, when you jump in the beds, and you throw pillows, and you get all sweaty, you know, and you fill up the sink, and blah, you know, and you just make a mess out of the place. But then the time comes, you say, hey, it's about time for Mom to come back. See, we don't obey right away, do we? Huh? We have got exactly 5 minutes to get this place cleaned up. There's no arguments then, is there? Or when she opens up that door. Or your dad opens up that door. Huh? You learn to obey through the discipline. Are you hearing it? You run around and you get it all cleaned up and you get this and you get that all done. Huh? But as you grow and as you're disciplined, you love to do those things because you know it's going to bring about a result, a love affair with God, a love affair, okay, with your parent and then with God. And so as soon as the mother leaves or as soon as God gives you the commandment, you go ahead and you do it and you say, yes, Lord. We leave, it says in the Bible, those childish things. Because there's always got to be a burden. There's a reason for our living. I have to have a burden every day. Now, someone says, now you just got out of that thing. Now why are you taking up on this thing? I said, because I have to have a burden. Oh God, give me a burden. What do you want me to do? Without a direction, without work, without a burden, there's no anchor. You understand? You have to have the burden. And if you don't have it, and you're just sitting around claiming things, and you know, and there's no burden there, there's no life. You ever seen a person with no life? They have no burden. What have you been doing lately? Oh, nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. But a person that's got a burden and they're in action, and this happened and that happened, and then come on over here and take a look at this. Oh, that's great. Yeah, and then after that's done, oh, come on over here. Then we're going to get this and this, and I'm going to wipe out that wall. See, what? Yep, wipe it out. Wipe it out. Oh, what are you going to do? Well, it's coming to me. I got a vision. It's going to be great. You understand what I'm saying? You have a burden, and you have an excitement, you have something to wake up to in the morning. That's why you got children, because they're a burden to you. Because his burden is only as wings are to an eagle. They're a burden until he uses them to fly. You got to use them. His burden is a burden only as legs are to a runner. You got to use them. His burden is a burden only as fins are to a fish. They're only a burden if they don't do anything and they just hang down. And he sort of does a submarine dive. Boop, boop, boop. Huh? How many are hearing this? They're a burden if they're not used. Those wings are a burden if they're just hanging down, dragging in the dust. But you see, they're a burden because they're not used. God gives us things, a burden to go ahead, but we have to use our bodies and our minds to put them to use, a burden. We all need them. We all have to have them. And you know what they are? They're carrying one another's burdens. That's our ticket to joy. I know it doesn't sound right. Hallelujah. It doesn't sound right. But when I get involved in someone's burden, and they're just burdened down with some kind of thing, and I take on their burden, brings me joy. Because now I am other-centered. You know what a drag it is to be in yourself and carry your own burdens? Well, hey, Satan will pile more on you because you're not in the Lord. You're off the way now. You're carrying your own burdens. Jesus isn't in it. You're carrying your own burdens, guilt and frustration and doubt and anxiety and, oh, God, I hate to go to work. If I could only get out of that job, but what can I do? I'm rounding that age, you know. Isn't that hogwash? Isn't it? After you reach a certain age, you're not to carry someone else's burdens. I think you should carry them if you live to be 100 and whatever. But you're made to carry other people's burdens. And if you don't, you're going to be miserable, maladjusted, unhappy. Hey, I got problems of my own. See, you're supposed to give them to Jesus and then pick up somebody else's burdens. That's the way it goes. See, Jesus will take care of your burdens if you're busy doing his work. Now, how many heard that one? And you know why we're maladjusted and we're crazy? Because we're carrying our own burdens and we love them. Huh? Boyfriends, girlfriends, huh? Burdens. Sin burdens. Booze bottles popping out the side, pot leaking out the bottom of the bag. You know what I mean? The burdens. Our mind, you know, your mind is a big burden. You ever seen them great big heads they put on? You can hardly hold them up. I mean, I'm going to get one of them things. I think we got one someplace. But I mean, it's a great big old head, see, and it's just a big burden. Because they got all them burdens in their head. So-and-so's problem, and this problem, that problem. Oh, God, and the kids, and oh, Jesus, oh, fear. All the fear we got. Oh, what if I lose my Social Security? Oh, what if I lose my welfare? Burdens. And there's even a song, lay your burden down, isn't there? See, you're supposed to. Now, I know it sounds nutsy, but you got to lay down your burdens. Share, give. You have to lay down your burdens at the foot of the cross and pick somebody else's burdens up. See, that's how you become Christ-like. You go to the cross and you lay your burdens down. You know what you're going to find there? Someone else's burdens. You need to go to the cross. That's where all the burdens are. Right? Don't you lay your burdens at the foot of the cross? And aren't you to bear one another's burdens? Well, then pick up their burdens. You know who's going to be helping you? Jesus. That's why they're light. Because you're doing the work of Christ now, and you got someone else's burdens. And you're carrying someone else's burdens. Taking on someone else's affliction, if you will. Taking on someone else's suffering. For what? For the joy that is before you. Follow me as I follow Jesus. How many are hearing this tonight? Glory to God. You see what I'm saying? We are made to carry. Has someone got a burden in here? Trade burdens. And maybe you'll be happy to live with what you got after you see what else somebody else has got. You see, I believe that the Christian way satisfies life and the world's way satisfies an impulse. An impulse that puts confusion and hate into the rest of the life. I think there's a whole lot of people that are impulsive. You know, you're dangerous when you're impulsive. You ever been around an impulsive, well, the credit card people love you. Impulsive buyers. Buy on impulse, it's just like they give you a little shock. Huh? And that's the way we are when we live by impulses. Somebody says something, an impulse. Reaction. You know how the devil loves that? If he can get you living off your impulses. Ever been around an impulsive person? And they're dangerous. A fist can come out of the side of their arm and beep. You know what I mean? They're impulsive. How many are hearing this? God. Oh. I mean, a part makes the whole instead of the whole making the part. Well, you say, explain that. Okay, I will. You can't go part way without departing from the whole. You got to go all the way on the way. You cannot go part way or you've left the whole of the way. Now, if you're going to take a trip to California and you only go part way, are you going to be in California? No, you're going to be in South Dakota. And you can just sit there and say, well, I'm on the way. Well, where are you going? Well, I'm going to California. How long you been? When did you start out? Oh, I guess it was about 20 years ago. God, some people never get the job done. See, I believe that the Christian way is goodness turned to rapture. We don't sing to make ourselves happy. We sing because we're full of songs. Okay, you're full of songs and that's why you sing. You don't sing to make yourself happy. Do you ever try to sing to make yourself happy when you aren't feeling happy? I'm so happy. And here, I've seen people that are sitting down and they're standing up and they're singing those kind of songs and they are miserable. I'm so happy. Here's the reason why Jesus took my burdens all away. Bam! Way. Huh? And they'll stand and sing those songs and pretend. Do you know how many pretend meetings I've been to? And that's why I hate to go to them. People are just not real and they're out there and they're And a lot of them are out there. They should be home, and they're in Hawaii at some big meeting, some big rally, and the husband's eating all these TV dinners stacked up about this high. Say amen, somebody. Ah, and there are these great, praise the Lord. And you know these people. I know a lot of people because I've had them in and out of my place, let me tell you. Did you hear that, radio audience? In and out. Because you try to get them on the way and they want to be phonies. And so, oh, I just felt the, some coming down. And they leave there, then they're meaner than hell itself. Are you hearing this? Oh, I said it, and I am glad. It's the truth. Say amen, somebody, my God. Our song is not dependent upon our happenings. It's founded on life. Did you ever sing and you didn't, and you caught yourself singing? Well, sometimes, I'll just tell you the truth. Sometimes I can go from one song to the next song. I can go all day long off of one note. La da 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 da. Now, that reminded me of a song. And then the last note that I'd end up would remind me of another song. Are you hearing this? Because you're full of song. Try it sometime. If you're full of song, it's going to come on and on and on. And each last note will take you into another song. Now, it's not a song to make you happy. It's because you're full of song. And I'm just using that as an illustration. And it takes you into another one. And another. Are you hearing it? And that's the way it is when you're on a flow. When you're on a roll, spiritually speaking, you become full of song. Not to make you happy by singing, but because you're full of song. Whew. Guy asked me the other day, he says, "What's happening, man?" He was looking for a happening to happen. And I said, until something happens within you, nothing's happening for you. I mean, what's happening in me won't do you any good until you receive what's happening, man. That's what's happening. Isn't that right? Okay, let me read a piece of scripture here. And this is 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And the witnesses is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. We know that we have eternal life. We know that we're on the way. We know that when we're on the way, we have peace and joy and confidence in God. We know that. Well, why don't we stay on the way then? In 1 John 4 and 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. You have to live your life through Christ, okay? In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. by this. We know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. How many know? You know when you're in the Spirit. I know when I'm in the Spirit and I know when I'm not in the Spirit. Say amen, somebody. Luke 13 and 25, Jesus calls himself the master of the house. I'm going to ask a question to the radio audience. Who is the master of your house? If your house is in confusion, it's because it's still your house and it's not his house. Matthew 6 and 22, if your eye is generous, and I thought, well, what does that mean? It means if your eye, your way of looking at life is generous, it's Christian. Then the whole body is full of light. The generous eye generates, gives birth to happiness, light, and life. You are fulfilled and you are creative. But I believe it means this: if your eye is selfish, then everything you touch becomes darkness. Money becomes darkness. Sex becomes darkness. Family becomes darkness. Work becomes darkness, and all other relations become darkness, because this is not the way. And when it says in the Bible, when that very light turns to darkness, what darkness it is. When your good becomes bad, how bad it is. You can't take a wrong attitude in one part of your being without darkness spreading throughout the whole part of your being. How many are hearing this? I'm closing. If we receive in the light, the lighthouse, this is, we're lighthouses, one particle of darkness, that darkness takes over. I know it. Because I can get up and I can feel so full of light and so free, and then I take on a little piece of darkness. And if I don't rebuke that darkness, it grows in me. And how dark it is the whole day. One word received. See how the devil can trick you? Did you know the devil can trick you and give you that one little speck of darkness? How dark. Have you seen people that are walking in darkness? I mean, they are the lights of the world and they're walking in darkness. How dark is that darkness? It gets so dark that they don't even recognize it anymore. How many are hearing this? One little speck takes over the whole thing. And it grows and it grows and it darkens out the whole rest of our being. God, that happened to me here a couple of days ago. And someone had some kind of a thing to say, and it was the truth. But the person didn't need what was dished out. They needed a forgiveness and they needed some other things. But just for a little while, I received that darkness and I start to feel gloomy. And sort of like this thing on TV where the gray sickness takes over. And I thought, you know what? That's darkness. That's why we don't receive everything everybody has to say. My God, if it's not light, don't receive it. Don't receive it. If it's a form of darkness and gossip or something like that, or evil questioning. Oh, what's going on now in the church? Or what's going on now in that family? None of your business. That is darkness. I think we ought to spend more time down on our hands and knees. And I'm speaking to our church here. And of course, you recognize here in this church, we've got a great church. And we're ministering to people outside of this body. We're ministering up here to this tape and to this radio up here. How great is that darkness? Do you realize how much darkness there is right now in the house of God? Man, that's got to be darkness when you cannot see a brother in love. That's got to be darkness where the things that are going on, my God, how dark is that darkness? Say amen, somebody. And I fall into it, I must admit. Let me close. John 12 and 50 says, I know that his orders mean eternal life. I know that when I follow God's orders, I'm going to have life. I know that when God gives me a direction and I follow that direction, it doesn't matter what comes down on me. If I follow what God has shown me to do, I know it's going to bring me life. Are you hearing this? The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Are you going to use it? What are you going to do with it? It's right inside of you. The kingdom of God is all light. There's so many things that we have to share with people outside of this church, people that are walking in darkness. Ooh. There's so many things we have to tell them, and we can show them about coming out of doubt and hate and fear and rebellion and guilt, inhibitions. 1 John 2:8, realized in Him. Everything that I receive of light, I realize in God. My realization is in the Word of God. My realization is in Christ. Outside of that, I can become unreal. Because when we are found in Him, we become a fact. Tonight, I'm a fact. Not that I'm anywhere near where I would like to be, but I'm a fact of change. A walking, talking fact. A man that tried every key on the ring and for a time held on to certain keys. A man that was nervous and frustrated, alcoholic, drug-oriented, fearful, psycho, just completely off. I'm a fact that when we walk in the light, as children in the light, and when we start to receive and obey God and the discipline of God and get on the way, we have peace of mind. We have joy. And we have the love of God. And when we don't, we have that defeated attitude. We are rejects. How many tonight learned something off this message? Well, it's just a story about myself, so don't take it too hard. That's right. But you have to share yourself. So others can find themselves. Say amen, somebody. You need preachers listening to me right now. It's time that we got the truth out there. People don't have to live that way. People don't have to live in fear. I talked to a guy in here last Sunday. I know some people didn't like it. That was all right. I don't care. He come in. He's been coming in habitually drunk all the time. I said, brother, he's sitting down in the seat. He said, well, we called for salvation. He says, how about me? I said, well, you've been saved several times. You're saved, but you need to change. I'm going to just tell you the truth. You need to change. How many know we all need to change? God, I'm praying He changes me every day. Seems like I go 2 steps ahead and 14 back. But do you want to know something? God keeps track of all the 2 steps ahead and the 14 back. He doesn't count. It says that He doesn't keep track of your trespasses and your sins. It says He'll remember no more, but He does keep track of all the good things. You know what? You keep on and keeping on and keep on going that way. If something hits you here tonight, well, recognize it'll help you on your walk. But really, you know, the love of God goes by those things. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but you know, and especially preachers that are into legalism. They're sort of the John the Baptist preacher, you know what I mean? Where they bring on a whole lot of law and a whole lot of different things like that. But Jesus came and gave us something to go for. He says, I will remember your sins no more. But He remembers all the good you did, and when you get to heaven, that's how you're going to be rewarded, on the good you did. Not on the bad you did, but if you're judged on the good you did, that's going to be a heavy judgment, ain't it? Isn't it? But I'll remember your sins and your trespasses. No, the blood of Jesus covers all your sins. Isn't that wonderful? But there's going to be a judgment for all the Christians, and you know we're right around the corner to judgment. It's really, really close. You say, oh, they've been saying that for years. Well, hey. Just in the natural, they're saying it all over right now. Do you see that thing on TV where they have that big, big pointed thing out there and it showed these different missiles coming in? Well, pew, 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 huh? What if that thing should do a little tilt? What if it went crazy? What if they intercepted the signals? See, it's a dangerous world we're living in, ain't it? But greater is he that's within us than he that's of the world. My God, we got something going, ain't we? You know when we're going to be happy people? We just give our all to someone else. You give your all to your wife, and your wife gives your all to you. See? When we give our all to our job, and when we give our all to people in the church, and we give our all to the poor out there and the needy out there, and to the hobos that are out there. Last night, Dick was telling me a story. He went down to where the hobos were, and what was the guy's name? Mexico, or what was his name? Or Montana, yeah. Says, Montana? Yeah, oh, Dick, yeah. And so he stumbles out. He says, were you cold last night? And he says, no. He says, I never get cold. He says, but there was a little Mexican fellow in here, and man, he just couldn't get warm. So I piled all these covers and things on him, you know, and then I even got up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to start a fire for him. He just could not warm up. And Dick says, you know what? And that guy didn't know it, but he saved that guy's life. And you know who's watching all that? God is. He's watching all that. He's watching you going down there yelling, Montana! Now, isn't that going to make a neat rerun movie? Oh, there's going to be a lot of Christians envying you down there, stumbling over the tracks and cockle burrs all over your pants. Huh? And where will they be? They'll have a rerun movie of them. I claim! Well, I'll tell you, the best movies are going to be Montana! Hi, Dick. Yeah. Our rerun movies of hobos bringing in $40 into the church. And change lives. A change life like my own. I'd like to see that rerun movie from that Skid Row, nothing, do nothing, nothing. And still I'm nothing, but I'm happy in the Lord. Those are great stories, aren't they? How'd you like to see that rerun movie when you got them great big old pouty liver lips you won't make up over some stupid, simple, ignoramus thing? Huh? And you have the rerun movie over somebody that gives you some kind of guff and I'm leaving the church. They'll make great comedy. Say amen. You're going to die laughing up there. Huh? Is that me? I don't believe it. You ever see home movies? Is that me? Look how different I look. Well, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be saying that when they get to heaven. Look how different I look. Huh? Huh? These are all rerun movies. Or the Christian that's in the bar, or the Christian that's doing the things that aren't making him happy. How many heard this message tonight? Oh, let's make good copy and let's have good rerun movies. Huh? Take 5. Oh, I'm praying God does a lot of cuts on mine. I hope that a lot of them are on the cutting floor. Huh? Oh, God, forgive me. Just, you know, cut. I pray for 4 or 5 good frames at least. You understand? How many understood this message tonight? My God. See, it's just being natural and normal. And doing the things that God wants you to do is natural and normal. But we don't think that's natural and normal a lot of times. It is. And if you do it, it'll make you feel good. Is there anybody in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?